Welcome to the 4 Mini Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of December, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights for this week. Stock markets, mostly on the defensive, but considering Monday's downward dynamic on Wall Street, they didn't do all that badly. And some were reasonably positive in here on the week, most notably China. And in terms of today's action, we had Wall Street recovering yesterday's losses and a bit more, and doing it from some earlier weakness. Now, in long-dated government bonds, they have been stunning performers this week before the U.S. markets caught a little bit of profit-taking here today, or quite a bit of profit-taking, you may feel, down over 2 full points from today's high in the long bond futures. And it's also been a week in which the U.S. dollar index rallied back up close to its highs. Today, for instance, it got up to 87, nearly 87.5. It's currently 87.1, so those gains were pared back. But nevertheless, this is testing the top of the range, and it's moved higher against a number of other currencies. Also, the most notable development is that the dollar appears to be consolidating its gains against the Chinese renminbi, which means that the Chinese government is happy in its efforts to do anything to support its economy, is willing to let the renminbi weaken a bit. And because the dollar has been so strong, it's been and sentiment towards equities has been so bearish. Largely due to concerns over GDP growth, corporate downgrades, that the commodity markets have really been very weak in here today. Here's crude oil, for instance, down to 41.60. Imagine that. And natural gas broke down out of its range this week, slipped down to 5.76. The industrial metals were all hit. Most commodities were quite weak, and notably corn and soybeans were clipped in here today, resuming their overall downward trends. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, quite obviously, the disinflation, deflationary, global economic slump view not only holds sway, but it is embracing more converts here with every day. Equity investors are appalled by the moves that we've seen on the downside. Those who are value buyers, those who look at these markets and say, we've seen such extremes of sentiment, we have seen these improvements in valuation, we see these massive reflationary efforts now, albeit a little bit coming in a little bit late, but at least we see them now from central banks. We see a big fiscal policy stimulus beginning to unfold, and also in the pipeline. In other words, we're seeing all the factors that, following every bear market that we have seen since World War II, have indicated that it was an absolutely magic buy signal. But markets have not responded, and those who say it is different this time are on terra firma, because they can point to the global deleveraging which is taking place, and they can point to the a deflating credit bubble, and we have never seen a global deleveraging of this magnitude. So that is the it's different this time factor here, and it's a very tough, scary situation overall. And if we get back to the technical action, aside from the climactic activity, the downward accelerations, the extremes of sentiment, the diversions relative to the 200-day moving averages, we have not got all that much evidence in terms of base formation development. Now, the main exception is China. And we've been saying for a while that China was the market that was been one of the worst performers this year, but it is one of the markets that's been really quite steady recently, and not all that much time in terms of potential base formation development. You have to go back to an October low, but it's looking constructive. Now, we have seen other indices on occasion range a bit and then break downwards again, and therefore people will be skeptical about China, particularly in this environment, and particularly since there are so many, there are no other indices that you could put in a similar position. Best we can say is that a number of stock market indices are still ranging above their October lows or not far off those levels. So we've seen some downward drifting by some of the weaker markets beneath those October lows. On a lot of the indices, we can see two-way dynamics. So markets still catch the downward dynamics in these volatile days, but they're also seeing some reasonable upward dynamics. That does suggest to me that we are seeing the struggle between supply and demand actually encountering some demand this time, although it has to be said that supply still has the upper hand overall, but not in as dominant a sense as we have seen and as we have seen previously. In other words, the demand is picking up, and I think it's probably more than, well, we know it's more than just short covering, because we know that the value investors are in there nibbling. But there are an awful lot of people who say, well, why bother? I've got a momentum trade in long-dated government bonds, and they're happy to play that. Or they say there's just too much volatility or just too much uncertainty. I'd rather stay in cash. But of course, that's not yielding very much, but it's a lot better than losing money, isn't it? So that's pretty much the background overall. Now, with everything still in an overall downtrend and such scant evidence of base formation development, I'm not really tempted to draw down my cash reserves. That's my just in time. I beg your pardon, it's not a just in time. That's my just in case cash holding that I held throughout that 2003 to into 2007 bull run in stock markets. And this is the type of environment that I had felt, well, when in talking about just in case something really goes wrong in the equity markets, and veteran subscribers will recall hearing me say this before, perhaps, that if anything really went wrong in stock markets, that I would be investing more of that capital, and that's what I certainly intend to do. And why? Well, because interest rates are going to come down further, so that makes the cash holding even less attractive. And all these reflationary efforts are going to be inflationary, not over the short to medium term, but over the longer term, quite probably. So that's another reason for not staying wedded to cash forever. So, what do I want to see, and what do I expect to see? Well, first, regarding the monetary efforts and the fiscal policy efforts, it takes time for these to kick in. And a lot of these have only been announced quite recently. We could talk about the last couple of months. There's often a lead time of a year possibly even more, before major changes in monetary policy are reflected in economic and market developments. So it does take time overall, but what you know, I think for certain, or what I feel I know, and have said before, that once the central banks crossed that Rubicon in terms of fighting inflation, which is melting away, as you know, and once they crossed that Rubicon, there is no looking back. They are committed to moving interest rates as low as they possibly can, and they have plenty of other monetary policy tools to use, such as buying their own government paper, which the Fed's been talking about recently. And then there are also all the fiscal policy stimuluses. So to those who say, "Oh, it doesn't work, we're in a depression, nothing, monetary policy doesn't work, we're just pushing on a piece of string, it's Japan all over again, or the 1930s," I think there's a little bit too much pessimism in those views. And this is the biggest, most concerted, coordinated reflationary effort that the world has seen, and it's gathering momentum. So that really is going to cause problems for bears, if not immediately, over the next few months. And where stock market indices are ranging, it wouldn't take too much on the upside for those patterns to join China in showing some overall base formation development. Now, that doesn't make me any kind of big bull in here, but I'm certainly not a big bear down here at these levels. I acknowledge that the bears still have the upper hand, but I think that's beginning to, that grip is beginning to look a little bit more tenuous in here right now. And I can see the factors falling in place slowly. We need patience, as is so often the case in markets, but I can see the factors steadily falling into place too, that will not only cushion stock markets but also cushion the global economy. Again, I've mentioned on a number of occasions that I do feel that well, people who talk about a depression in the United States certainly may feel like that. The news is awful. I think in the States, a job is lost about every 10 seconds, if not more. Probably more, judging from today's rising unemployment figures. We know that corporate profits are a disaster area. We know that there's still too much debt around. We know that there are scary derivatives. So there are all sorts of things to prevent one from being bullish. But we also know the other side, as I've talked about, the reflationary efforts, the extreme moves on the downside. The value people are telling us that there is increasing value out there, and I agree with them. So I don't think it's terribly clever being extremely bearish at this stage. If you say, "Well, I'm just want to sit on the sidelines in here," well then fine. That's exactly what I'm doing in terms of my cash holding. But the point I'm making is that I think that the bear is gradually dissipating, but you know, the bull is not yet on the horizon. Let's put it that way. Now, if that makes me sound like a screaming bull, I would say that's only relative to the screaming bears that we have. I'm actually very, very cautious, and I have acknowledged over and over again that this is a very scary, difficult situation here. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, they're the momentum trade. That's another reason why equities aren't performing in the short term. But of course, these falling long-term interest rates make equities look more competitive over time. Before equities become more competitive over time, we do need, well, we will see long-dated corporate bonds become more competitive. And I think we've reached that point because we've seen some good bounces in here in the last couple of weeks in a number of these corporate bond funds. So maybe there's a lot of short covering involved in that, but I know from subscribers' interest that there is also some buying interest there, and I think that's right. Overall, I've written about that again today. Owen's been commenting on it a lot in the last few weeks, commenting on corporate bonds. We've also pointed out these government bond trends on well, several times a week at least. Now, they really are accelerating, and to be buying these long-dated government bonds at this stage, one really does have to believe that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And well, maybe that's right, but all I would say to those who have been smart enough to be playing those trends, and I haven't, but all I would say is that everything you've ever seen on charts tells you that when you get these accelerating trends, that you do want to use a trailing stop. In other words, you want to make sure that when this market finally does start to unravel, that you have locked in most of your paper profits. I do think that's very, very important because, as we know, accelerating trends are always an ending signal. Ending for an unspecified duration, but the bigger the acceleration, the more extreme the reaction eventually is. And we really do have some record low bond yields in a number of these markets. And we also know that the supply is increasing overall, and we also know that there are some distant inflationary pressures that are being created out there. Ben Bernanke's helicopter has been working overtime here. Just look at the M1 figures, which I've posted here again today. It's actually got a update. I think last update's on the 24th of November, so we need another update on that. That'll should be coming through from Bloomberg fairly soon. Okay, what else to mention in here? This US dollar, this is so important. And if you look at the charts on this, and again we continue to post them, and of course you can find them all in the library, the dollar is still pushing ahead against a number of currencies. Some of the developing economy commodity currencies. It is also strong against the Chinese renminbi, but the renminbi is a controlled currency, and as I said at the beginning, China is indicating that it'll do anything it can to shore up its economy, including letting its currency weaken. This dollar strength is certainly not good for the US economy. And you could say, well, it's lowered the cost of imports, but the cost of imports has been falling dramatically. But that is the one positive that remains. Where it hurts is in terms of consolidated profits for exporters. So the exporters are getting a double whammy hit here. They are selling less due to the global economic slowdown, and also they, because of the dollar's strength, when they consolidate profits, they see those diminished by the very strong dollar. Now, we know why that dollar has been so strong, and part of it is the unwinding of the carry trades, and that's an even more powerful argument for the strength of the Japanese yen that we have been seeing. Then you get the momentum trading, which we've also seen in the dollar and in the Japanese yen. Then we get what for me is the rationalization trade, which people say, oh, well, look at this. It must mean that people really have a lot of confidence in the stability and economic policies of the United States. Well, that requires a stretch of imagination, I think, overall. I mean, I wish the United States very well. I think they're doing the right things in a difficult situation here right now, but I do not regard the strength of this US dollar as compatible with US long-term recovery prospects. But what it does do, and what it does do, is give Bernanke a complete free license to print with abandon, and that is exactly what he's doing. And that's probably the right thing to do at this time as well. But you know how it'll all play out eventually. They're monetizing debt. And again, that makes a certain amount of sense when you're when you're in a corner. And that will be bullish for precious metals, and we'll see the benefit of that this year. Once the dollar peaks, and we're going to get quite a run here, I think, in the precious metals, and I'm happy to be positioned for that. Now, as I said, over the week we've seen the dollar strengthen here. I think that looking at it on the US dollar index, that really, it requires a sustained break above the 88 level to reaffirm the overall prior uptrend. My hunch is that we are seeing or have seen at least a penultimate top. And what we really want to see is the dollar index to see bearish deterioration. It needs to fall back down beneath that last reaction low, which is just a little below the 85 level, sort of 84 and three quarters, something like that. That would be a bearish signal. And what I do feel is that not only are the US dollar's advance days numbered, but I also feel that it's kind of the linchpin for everything that's going on here in markets. And I think when investors, all those people who are playing the dollar trade, begin to smell that the run is over, then I think you will see weaker long-dated government bonds. I think you will see much stronger commodity prices, and that'll be short covering and then long buying. And I also think you'll see stronger stock markets. So it would change. It's a real game changer when that actually occurs, just as it was a real game changer when the dollar started to strengthen. So I would watch out for that. It could happen. It could happen any time, or it could be delayed for a few more weeks. But the charts will show us. But it will happen, and I think it will happen. If not over the next few weeks, it'll happen over the next few months. I feel that really quite strongly. Exciting times, aren't they? And what about these very depressed commodity levels? Well, there are stories around of people starting to stockpile crude oil in ships. Some of the big oil companies are already doing that. There are stories of China doing that. They'd be crazy not to, wouldn't they? And there are also stories that China and perhaps others are beginning to stockpile some of the industrial metals, and they would be crazy not to do that. I would also feel. So this is a very interesting time, and in addition to, it's not just a scary time, it's an interesting time, and it'll also be a promising time over the medium to longer term. And there are some very, very important and crucial trends out there to be monitoring. A lot's going to be happening over the next few months. We can be sure of that. And Owen and I will be there with you, commenting on it every step of the way and making the library, continuing to enhance the library, so that you can do that in your own right as well, so that that's a more and more valuable resource for you. And I'll just say on behalf of Owen and myself how much we really appreciate the informed emails and the terrific reports and articles that you continue to sell us, that you continue to send to us. I'm getting tired here. You can tell it's Friday afternoon, 9:40. So let me say that again. We really do appreciate all the terrific articles, emails, and reports that you send to us in the spirit of empowerment through knowledge. That's what Fuller Money is all about. And on that note, I'll bid you adieu and say have a terrific weekend, and we'll look forward to an exciting week next week, and quite no doubt with more opportunities. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.